seeing into the heart of God and seeing his character that he wants to form in us. Let's pray with Hugh. Father, your blessing be upon you. Thank you for my brother Hugh. Pray that your blessing will be upon him and the words that he says to us. And may we indeed be attracted to, drawn to, like a piece of iron to a magnet, into your purposes for us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, that's an intro. Good afternoon. Okay, our common life. I get the pleasure of giving you this next installment of this series of talks we're going through, just recapping these core things in our community life. So just a super little step, quick stepping stones. Dan spoke to us at the anniversary weekend about covenant. Arthur followed up and spoke to us on why community. Neil spoke to us about being charismatic and ecumenical. And Dan spoke to us again last time about states and stages of life. And so I'm coming to talk to you today about having a common life. And what you're probably discovering is these are more reminders, at least I hope they're more reminders than teachings of things that are new. And kind of each of them is surprisingly similar. We're kind of talking about the same things, but it's a little bit like we're just looking at the same thing, but from a different angle. We're walking around a little bit, taking another view. How does it look from this angle? How does it look with the sun shining on it, with the shade? How does it look? Our community. Okay. So I'd like to start just by kind of recapping and thinking about what is community. It's a word that gets used a lot. Sometimes in our pre-marriage course that we do with folks, we take a word like communication because it's kind of encompassing, but how can we get at what's going on there? We talk about the Asian community, or the Jewish community, or the LGBT plus community, the scientific community. What makes them communities? What do they have in common with the Antioch community? You know, clubs and societies, are they communities? Fulham Football Supporters Club. Yeah. I'm assuming such a thing exists. Is that a community? What makes a religious community a community? And I guess if you're a member of the, for argument's sake, the Asian community, you arrive there somewhat by birth or somewhat by association, but there are certain things that we can rightly or wrongly assume about you if you're part of that community. You live your life a certain way. You might eat certain foods. There are certain holidays that you mark and celebrate. It's a culture. You might be pleased that you're part of that culture. You might not be. A club, I think a club is more about a common interest. I have a shared interest. I might not like you very much, but we have a shared interest. And so I'll play chess with you, or I'll go running with you, or I'll work with you in the gym. But our community speaks of connectedness. It speaks of more than friendships. It speaks of supporting one another. It speaks of shared interests and values, but most importantly, connectedness. And I think that connectedness comes largely from this common life. What are the things that we can assume, somewhat at least, about each other? And as a Christian community, things get even more specific. Our faith is supposed to permeate and change our entire lives. The Holy Spirit should be in every part of my life, should be making a difference there. My whole life, my behavior, my attitudes should all be transformed, or hopefully at least being transformed, by God's grace and the power the Spirit. And when we start being joined like this to other Christians in committed relationships, something special starts to happen in Acts 2. You know, we've got this beautiful passage. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Wow. Heady days, exciting times. What, you know, the buzz to have been part of that, to have been seeing lives transformed, new people coming and joining every day, must have been spectacular. You know, and I was aware, I kind of caught myself looking at this passage through these kind of rose-tinted spectacles, if you like, and kind of assuming that all these converts had this amazing conversion experience, and every bit of baggage and burden they had from their previous life just melted away, and all of a sudden they just knew all the teaching that they were supposed to know, and they didn't just know it, they did it. But I guess it wasn't quite like that. I suppose some of those people might have been less than perfect. Some of them might have been annoying. You know, they might have been insensitive. They might have been presumptuous. They might have been lazy. They might have been careless in their speech. And yet, that was the early church. That was where we have come from. That's this kind of model community that we hold up. But in the midst of all that, you see this life that they had together, devoted to the apostles' teaching. I've got to know how to live this life. I've got to know what this life means. I need to know how to do it well. Fellowship. I need the help of brothers and sisters if I'm going to do this well. I need the support of people around me. Breaking bread, bringing it back to the Lord who said, do this in memory of me. Breaking bread, eating together, shared life, and prayer. And prayer that transforms everything. So, you know, we see the early Christian church there with this life together. And, you know, this is an intense life. It's a full life. It's an utterly different life from what they've lived before. So just thinking about our common life. Are we there? Yes. Fantastic. Thanks, Marco. Our common life and I struggled kind of thinking this and trying to see into it. And then the more I looked, the more I kind of marked all these things that are part of our culture. They are our common life. You know, our community meetings, members meetings, pastoral care. You know, I could read the list out. You can read it too. But these are what make us us. You know, when your children grow up and they kind of start talking about the kind of the weird and the embarrassing family traditions, and yet somehow they still insist on doing them. Because they're what makes your family your family. And these are the things that make our family our family. These are the things that we have in common, the things we do together. We don't all like them, all of them, the same amount. We don't all necessarily agree with them all the same amount. You know, we don't all live in households at the moment. But many of us have lived in a community household at some point. And being blessed by it. You know, all the different aspects of life. You know, I just want to reflect briefly on a couple of these. Recently, we were away on a leadership training weekend. and we had the pleasure of finding our way back to the Frontier Center at an even colder time of the year. And I had the pleasure of, you know, Frontier Center food. I mean, it wasn't too bad, you know, it's all right. It's not the high point of the, it's not why we go. And I have to confess, and Neil probably picked this up, I was not exactly enthusiastic about going. It's kind of, I suppose one of us ought to. And, but I was so blessed by being there. I was blessed by being there. I was encouraged by being there. You know, some of the teachings, some of the sharings that folks had for us, and just the fellowship with people from other communities. Our common life. Our common shared experience of the Lord and living this community life. Our community anniversary weekend, back to the Frontier Center. I love our anniversary weekends. You know, in one sense, they are us being community, you know, almost kind of to the max that we can, you know, as we co-locate, as we eat together, as we see what we all look like pretty much first thing in the morning. You know, that's kind of shared life. Shared life. You know, never mind the teaching and the entertainments and the Kayleys and the, you know, all the other good things that happen. I love our anniversary weekends. And one other thing I just want to mention is the Lord's Day we just had in Acton, in Acton Baptist Church, you know. And I know you guys over in Hillingdon had your own Lord's Day, and I hope it was at least half as good as ours, because I really enjoyed ours. It was chaotic, but the food was great, and there was plenty of it. You know, even though some people said, oh, we haven't got enough food, not aware of, you know, the many pots and pans boiling away in the kitchen. And we had an abundance of food. I set up a microphone just for people to share and to give thanks to God. And you always wonder what's going to happen. And you just put the microphone there and say, you invite people, come and share and give thanks to God. What's God been doing in your life? And you kind of walk away and you go, will anybody? And we had some great sharings. You know, people just come because the Lord is at work in our lives. You know, our common life, the life that we share, you know, all these little things, and they are gems and they are treasures for us. So why have a common life? I've got my nice little circle diagram. And, you know, there's all the things that we're talking about up there, relationships, unity, community, mission, all those things. And our common way of life supports them all. And you can kind of start anywhere you like in the circle and go from there and just keep going round. But I started with relationships. As we spend time together, as we serve together, as we share with one another, eat and worship together, so our relationships grow. We grow in friendship, we grow in knowing and being known. And all of a sudden, people that we never imagined associating with are our friends. Builds relationships. And from those relationships, it builds unity. Because in the strength of those relationships, we can go to one another and say, that thing that you did or that thing that you said hurt me. And then we can respond with sorrow and repentance, and we can apologize, and we can give and receive forgiveness. And that knits us closer together. That joins us more profoundly. And we bridge the divisions of male and female, of age and generations, of denominations and nations, as the Holy Spirit works amongst us. And as we build unity, so we build community. It's the natural result of us coming together and growing closer, loving one another more. Our community is built and strengthened. And again, you're going to put this point sort of anywhere in the sequence, but you know, one of the reasons why we want community and we want these relationships is so that we can support and encourage one another. That we can support and encourage one another on the way to heaven. journey with the Lord. And it makes me think of the two men on the road to Emmaus supporting one another in their disappointment as to what had happened. And in that sharing, in that relationship, the Lord himself was there. And he transformed their understanding, and he transformed them, and he transformed their mission. So as we join together in unity and community, so we build discipleship. And out of this, we build mission. How much more convincing will we be when people look at us and say, this is a people who love one another. This is a set of people living, you know, dignified, holy lives, dedicated to Christ the Savior. They will be compelled to look more closely at us and say, what do they have? Because I want it. And please God, they will look through us and past us and see Jesus Christ himself. That's why our common life. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit now about attitude and amount. So let's start with attitude. What's our attitude to our common life? And the verse that came to mind was, seek and you will find. And the question is, what are we seeking for? What are we looking for as I look at the things in our common life? Am I looking for the weaknesses? Am I looking for the frustrations? Am I looking for the inconvenience of it? Because if that's what we're looking for, that's what we'll find. If we're looking for people who are bad communicators and turn up late and have really dull sharings in sharing group, that's what we will find. So it's kind of our choice. But at the same time, if we look for the Holy Spirit at work, if we look for people who are struggling to be saints and to embrace God in their lives, you know what? That's what we'll find. That's what we'll find. We'll find brothers and sisters who want to love us, you know, in spite of ourselves. We will find brothers and sisters who are pressing on to the Lord, doing their best, you know, tripping up plenty, but I do too. So seek and you will find. You know, the attitude that we bring is so important. And amount. You know, how much do we immerse ourselves in our community way of life? How much do we do community 100%? That's a kind of a challenge. And in one sense, I'm going to cop out. And I'm going to say we all need to find our own answer to this question. But in humility before the Lord, in conversation with our sharing groups and our pastoral leader, and the answer will be different for different ones of us. But at the same time, I would say that the world also has a common life that it is holding out to us. The world has its own way of doing relationship. The world has its own way of doing romance. The world has its own ways of doing celebrations. The world has its own way of how you spend your money and use your time. And the world is constantly calling us to that common life. And part of our challenge is to be different. Part of our challenge is to confidently not be like the nations that are around us, but to be different. So there we are. I'm going to pause there, and Claire, I'm going to invite you to come and share with us, please, and add to this. And I have no idea what Claire's going to say. And she doesn't know either. But at least she knows she was sharing. Claire, come and bless us.
So, yeah, sorry, this isn't the best prepared But I was thinking about our common life and the things we do together. And I suppose, I mean, they really are all about loving God and loving each other, but doing it together and finding ways of doing that. And if you look at all the different things, they're connected with that. I suppose, you know, perhaps a shout out for sharing groups. That's such a, you know, it's just been there, hasn't it? However long we've been in community, long or short, we find ourselves in a small group, and sometimes we're with a group that we feel, oh yeah, you know, these lot really get me and know me. And sometimes it's harder and you have to put more in. But there's something about having people there who cover your back, who pray for you. And I know so many times in my own sort of journey through these last years, it's been, you know, that faithful prayer from people in the small group with me, which is the little microcosm of community life. That's where we live it out especially. So a little bit about sharing groups. I'm also aware of, you know, in some of the places where we live, we have opportunities to pray together. And I'm not always the best at remembering, but that is a lovely thing to do, to have chances to pray and to, you know, to remind myself, you know, God bless the people who host them, because they have to remember. And those things are very special. And the Lord's Day, I suppose, came to mind as something which is, you know, it's always a bit difficult to explain the Lord's Day, isn't it? It's not church and, you know, what it is. But a time to put, you know, to prepare for, to start putting God first. You know, that's what Sunday is about, isn't it? Putting God first, making space for others. And what I'm always struck by is that, you know, in times of persecution, the Jews, you know, they would always keep Shabbat. They would always keep, you know, practicing it. But in those special times, Shabbat kept them, you know. And I think sometimes it's as we keep going with some of those things, and we do them even when, you know, it's hard to do them, that they keep you in a certain way. They hold you. And that is a great blessing. I wanted to read my own passage from Acts. There's two, and he read the other one. But this is from Acts 4. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. And with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And much grace was upon them all. And it goes on to say other things, including there were no needy persons among them. So it that is very, very inspiring. And I think sometimes, you know, I love what it says about grace, that there's grace in that. And I can think of times when I've been struggling myself with different things going on, and I've stepped out to do what was, you know, the things we do, which is welcoming people, living out, you know, the life in our neighborhoods. And it's amazing how God does come in. You know, I remember visiting Richard and Patricia last year, and, you know, because Patricia and the children had just arrived, and I was a bit sort of downhearted going there. And I was positively, I think I physically skipped back down the road. Yeah, I'm glad you didn't see me. I was on the dock. But I was so blessed by their enthusiasm for having made it to London. And I say that not just about them, but all our, you know, Lebanese, Filipino people who've come to join us. You bring so much life and refreshment. So thank you for that. And I think also I was just struck by, you know, we live life together. We live our big events together. And that's such a blessing. I was remembering Stephen and Sarah's wedding last year, and it was a wonderful, wonderful event. And there were lots of challenges because we had COVID, and we had cancelled flights and things like that. And I was so touched by people, some of them in this room, who went, you know, they went all kinds of crazy ways just to get there for them. And it was very beautiful, really a testimony to sort of accompany people on the journey. And not everybody was able to do that. And then I suppose funerals, you know, I think in a very special way, we were alongside each other at those times, remembering, you know, the specialness of the person who died and standing with their families. And for me personally, one of the, something I'll always remember is when we had two premature babies, and both of them, you know, we had a funeral after each one of them died. And the second one, it was a really muddy day, and there was just that thick, sticky mud that you get at cemeteries. And all I can remember is loads and loads of shoes in our hall, just loads of shoes scattered, you know, people who came and were alongside us. And well, we also had Trevor in a special way because he was an undertaker at the time, and that was immensely special to be accompanied in that way. But we remember, don't we? I mean, we remember when people have been there for us. Ursula was saying to me recently how strengthened she was by many people from Antioch, you know, just sending her a message and saying, I'm sorry about your sister dying. And that really helped her and reminded her of community. And then mission, it talks about, you know, witnessing to the Lord Jesus. And on the subject of Linda and Trevor, I was reminded, you know, when we were honouring Linda when she died, and I was remembering when they moved to Acton so many years ago, and it wasn't the easiest move for them amongst the university lot, and a very, very different place. But they just they came and they lived community life, and you know, it was very catchy. You know, people picked that up. And you would do, you know, you walked around the neighborhood praying for people. And we had carols singing with a snow machine. And it affected Antioch, but it also affected the neighbors. And they were, you know, they would remember that now. And I see that in YPO a lot. You know, I'm sure it's the same in Koinonia, but I'm just a bit closer to YPO. And I see the way they live community. And they live it broadly and bring in the people that you know, they're witnessing to, and it's very powerful. And then I just end. One more thing. Remembering one of my most powerful memories of mission with community was actually not in YPO or UCO, but it was with older people in Antioch. We used to meet in the Yates's house, and you know, Tim and Mimi were part of it, and Katrine, and there was so much grace in reaching out to the people. And in fact, I remember one point coming to the end of a Life and Spirit seminar, and Neil saying to us, there's more people, how about another one? And immediately we all said yes, you know. So that was the grace of God among us. And then finally, I suppose I couldn't help the ending with food, because Gina was talking about food that was given to her. Tom and I are taking a saucepan back tonight to somebody who gave food to Stephen and Sarah. And I think so many of us have had the experience of, you know, either reaching out with meals or being given meals. And that is lovely, and it also is a good witness to those around us. So thank you.
Thank you, Claire, for those lovely reflections. And it just makes me kind of think of more and more that you want to kind of talk about, and you know, cluster life, the joys of living in cluster, slipper distance. Do you need to put your shoes on to go to somebody else's house? Can you get there in your slippers? Yeah, there's a blessing. People coming to pray in our house when it was a building site, and kind of some of the crazy things that we've done over the years. God is so good. So I want to remind you of a quote that Arthur used in his talk from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He who loves community
destroys community. He who loves the brethren builds community. We don't want to be lovers of institutions and structures and processes and policies. They're important and they help. But actually, we want to be lovers of brothers and sisters. And the way that we love one another is through our common life. It is the vehicle that we have that allows us, that creates opportunities for us to interact and to be with one another and to love one another. And I thought it was great because I had that big long list, and Claire then started talking about weddings and funerals and all these other things which are, you know, they're not official community common life, but they are expressions of community, and it kind of pushes the boundary, if you like, of our common life list, you know, even further out. And yes, there are times when our common life can be mundane and normal and unexciting. It's often inconvenient and awkward and makes demands of us in our diaries and our crazy London life. But it's also precious and it's life-giving. And it can be transformative, and it makes us holy, and it strengthens us to spread the gospel. You know, it helps us to build a life together that can be joyful and attractive and life-affirming and fruitful. And again, going back to something Claire said, and our life together helps us to weather the storms that will come. It helps us to weather the storms that have come, that we are in, and that surely will come. And it helps us to be purified by them and to come out of them holier. Of course, there are bits of our common life that we prefer. Some that we find easier than others. Others we find more challenging. Our way of life is not perfect, but then neither are we. So there should be no surprises there. But our way of life is good. And there is blessing for us there. And I do encourage us all to embrace it. Amen.